About 20 minutes away from coverage of K-State baseball at Kauffman Stadium, K-State and Arkansas. I think it's a pretty cool thing that K-State is playing at Kauffman Stadium, and not just that, but being able to parlay that with what they accomplished over the weekend, finally winning a Big 12 series for the first time this year, taking two of three from ranked West Virginia. I think this, you know, maybe K-State is reaching a turning point in the season, and they'll be able to go in a positive direction from here.
And you know what? I think if Royals fans, if they want to see some runs scored, go to the K tonight.
That's right.
Go tonight, because you're going to see some runs scored.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know how many the Royals are going to score at whatever the new name for the ballpark is in Chicago. Something bank or something loan.
I have to look it up. It's guaranteed rate field.
Guaranteed rate field. It'll still always be the sell to me. But sure. Yeah, I don't know how many runs there are going to be there, but there should be some tonight at Kauffman Stadium. I don't know if we'll see another Jake Scudder home run tonight. He's hit, I believe, four in his last seven games or something like that.
He's up to 11, which leads the Big 12.
Yeah, he's been just raking so far this season. Now the fences are moved a little bit back at the K, and you know that's a pitcher's ballpark by Major League Baseball standards. So I don't know if we're going to see any homers from Jake Scudder tonight, but I would bet that there will be more runs scored in that game than the Royals are able to score against the White Sox tonight. Speaking of K-State, over on the football side of things, it is draft week. The NFL draft coming up here in a couple of days with the first round on day one. Then you get, you know, the second and third rounds on day two, and then four through seven. I believe that's how they've divided up on day three. And it should be the first year in a couple of years since Tyler Lockett was around that K-State fans really have something to watch on the first night of the draft, with Jordan Willis potentially being a first-round draft pick. I think that the talk about that has dwindled a little bit, at least looking at where the projections are now and where he sits on the draft boards now. He's fallen a little bit back since he reached his peak right after the combine happened, and he just blew people away with all of his measurables, but still sitting in a very nice spot. I saw today that ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. posted his final big board with his top 300 prospects. And, you know, Mel Kiper Jr., say what you will about him, but he eats, sleeps, breathes the NFL draft. And he's got Jordan Willis as the number 54 prospect right now. Doesn't necessarily mean that he thinks he'll be taken 54th, but he's saying that he's the 54th best player in the draft. Then it'll be up to teams just taking what they need. And so sometimes you will see a guy that's in the 50s taken in the first round because a team really needs a defensive end or something like that. But sitting at 54, pretty good spot. I looked at a couple other spots. CBS has him at 56, I believe, and I believe that Fox has him at 51. So pretty consistent there, and it should be a fun week for K-State fans and for the Willis family as he waits to get drafted.
I'm looking at Fox Sports right now, and they might have just changed it because Joe Mixon is now at 51, and I'm still scrolling to find Jordan Willis.
Interesting. I think it was earlier this afternoon that I was on there, but it could have been from
somebody else,
maybe a different Fox Sports analyst. I'm not sure which one I was actually looking at there, but it looks to be right in that range of 45 to 60, depending on where you look for Jordan Willis. Now, as far as Elijah Lee is concerned, he had said that he had heard from some analysts that he could have graded out as a potential third, maybe fourth round draft pick. That sounded a little bit high to me. I think that the general consensus on him is like a fifth or sixth round pick, most likely for Elijah Lee. He was also in Mel Kiper Jr.'s top 300 rankings, and he was at number 254. So Jordan Willis at 54, Elijah Lee 200 spots lower at 254. But it'll be nice to see him land somewhere, as well as I don't think that there's much of a chance that he would go completely forgotten in the draft and have to sign somewhere as an undrafted free agent.
I just Googled NFL mock drafts. I looked for the brand new one I could find, the one that just the latest come out. It came out of Fox Sports, and it has Jordan Willis coming at number 68 to the Jacksonville.
So that would be a third round pick.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, that, and as of right now, I mean, that really means nothing. but I think he's better than that. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, we're definitely we're going to be biased about this, but I think that how good of a person he is off the field should carry more weight than it probably does with NFL people, because you feel like you're going to be taking less of a risk that something bad will happen with him than you would say that one of the players you just mentioned, Joe Mixon being the number 51 guy on Fox's board. I would certainly think there's more of a chance that Joe Mixon will do something to get him out of the game of football. More likely that it happens with him than Jordan Willis, but you know, that's all for the draft experts to figure out, and I don't dip too deep into that. I just kind of take their word for it, and we'll see. But I think that Jordan Willis is better than a third-round player. I do think that Elijah Lee is probably being evaluated about right with being a fifth-round player, maybe fourth or sixth.
And I know we're a couple of days away from that first round, but I would be shocked if Jordan Willis pops up in the first 32.
Yeah, at this point, it's looking less and less likely, even though Pro Football Focus – who has always had Jordan Willis's back, they continue to put out there that Jordan Willis is not just, you know, first round pick, but I've seen things saying that he's one of the 20 best guys in this draft. So there are people that really believe in Jordan Willis, and there are a lot of them that are here in Manhattan, no doubt about that. But the important thing is that he will be drafted, and K-State will continue that draft streak, which is the longest in the Big 12. And as John and I have talked about, it's one of the most, one of the greatest selling points for recruits, I think, for K-State coaches, is that they do have this streak going back to 1993.
One question, this is outside from Jordan Willis. I just don't understand the hype around Myles Garrett and Cleveland having to take him. Why does Cleveland have to take Myles Garrett just because he might be the best player according to – I mean, I get he's probably the best player on the board. That's according to a lot of people. But I don't think the Browns necessarily need a defensive end. They got Emmanuel Ogbah last year.
Yeah, that goes above my pay grade. I mean, again, I don't dip into that stuff with the draft all that much. What I will say on Myles Garrett is that a lot of K-State fans only know him from the Texas Bowl and how he was virtually a no-show against Scott France, and so they're going to let that impact what they think of him. I do know that from the reports or the analysis that I've read on him, that him just disappearing for certain periods of games is a concern. I just know that he is built, like he is the picture-perfect build for what you're looking for in a very good pass rusher. And when he is motivated and when he is playing well, he's one of the more dominant players that the college game had to offer in the 2016-17 season. So that's where all of this comes from.
I'm just telling you, I think Cleveland, they need to take a chance on somebody.
Well,
Cleveland
is going to screw it up. There's no doubt about that. And it's kind of a chicken or the egg argument. You know, people ask, well, are players bad because they got drafted by Cleveland, or are players bad because is Cleveland just going to draft a player and then they're going to become bad or whatever? But I think if you're Cleveland, it doesn't matter who you get. You can take Myles Garrett if you want. That just means he's going to be a bust.
You know what, though? Honestly, I think they should trade the first pick.
What, to who?
Trade the first pick. Whoever wants it. Move up a couple spots if they have to. Sell it to Chicago. Sell it to Jacksonville, who will give up that third or fourth spot. They could still get a quarterback or a good running back. They could get Mitchell Trubisky, or they could get Deshaun Watson. If they need to go running back, which wouldn't be a bad idea as well, there's Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey. I don't think he's a top five pick. I don't think Christian McCaffrey is a top five pick, but
they'll find a way to.
I'm just saying they don't need Myles Garrett.
I mean, look,
I could go on this forever. They don't need Myles Garrett.
I believe you. I'm just saying that because it's Cleveland, they're going to do what's worse for the organization.
And that's what's worse for the organization because they need a playmaker. And Myles Garrett's a good guy, but they don't have a terrible defensive line.
It'll be fun to pay attention to that. I always do enjoy watching the first round of the draft and then paying attention to the draft as necessary for any players that I might be interested in. Jordan Willis certainly being one, Elijah Lee being one. We'll have a lot more conversation on the draft over the course of the rest of the week as things get prepped for action there. All right, like I mentioned, it's a short show. K-State baseball coverage coming your way 9 minutes from now from Kauffman Stadium. The Bat-Cats taking on the Razorbacks of Arkansas. We will finish off the show with Jabroni of the Week next on News Radio KMAN.